Hi, this is Jim with SID out in Los Angeles. Welcome to the latest Outsports podcast. We were told we have to give the dates of these anymore, so this is Thursday, March the 14th. NCAA tournament is a week away, Sid. A week from today, I think it starts the first Thursday.
I was watching actually some college basketball last weekend, and it just seems to me, from what I saw and what I've read and heard, that this is going to be a pretty wide open tournament. Go South Dakota State.
Well, it will be, but someone is probably not going to be able to watch the NCAA tournament because he's going to be on some mountain somewhere, is our guest today. His name is Cason Crane. He is soon to be a student at Princeton University, but he has an amazing project that's called the Rainbow Summits Project, and the idea is he's climbing the highest peaks on all seven continents. He's completed five of the seven. Next week he heads over to Asia to prepare to climb Mount Everest. Then it's off to Denali in Alaska, and by middle of the summer he hopes to be done. And Cason's doing this all to raise money and awareness for the Trevor Project, which helps to stop suicides in gay youth. And he's raised already more than $100,000. And yes, Cason's with us. Cason's with us from Princeton. Welcome, Cason.
Hi. Thanks. Wow. Yeah, I think you said it all yourself. I've got nothing more to add. No, I'm really
good having you on the podcast.
Oh yeah. No, this is great.
So you have Everest coming up next, and are you nervous, scared? What do you feel? I mean, that's a pretty damn big mountain to go up.
You know, it is. It's the biggest in the world. I am definitely both scared, you know, a little nervous, but also more than that, I'm very, very excited. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to climb Everest. Definitely some pre-climb jitters, more than any other expedition that I've been on. I'm definitely nervous.
Well, why mountains? I mean, why not swim across the English Channel or run marathons? Why climb up mountains?
Well, I do run marathons as well, so I'm not exclusively a mountain climber. I do triathlon and I run very frequently. Swimming across the English Channel, that would be awesome. I don't think I'm good enough of a swimmer to do that. But no, mountains are definitely, they have like a unique appeal. I mean, I love the outdoors. I love nature. And when I was in high school, I ran cross country. And one of the big things about cross country that I loved was that you're in nature. It's not just on a road. It's not, you know, in a pool. You actually get to look around and experience the outdoors. And so, of course, when you're hiking, when you're mountain climbing, you're doing that, but on a whole nother level. You know, instead of it being a 15, 20, 25-minute cross-country race, it's weeks, months even, on a mountain, in the outdoors, totally cut off from the rest of the world. And I love that. I love that feeling of isolation. You get a lot of introspective time to be introspective and to reflect on your life and on the world. And then also, you know, what separates mountain climbing for me from just hiking or backpacking is that there's a goal. You know, you want to get to the summit. It's not just about getting to the end of a trail. It's about actually going up to the top. And I'm a very goal-oriented person. So having that makes it all, like, really, really more worthwhile, and just makes it a sport that I'm really passionate about.
And could you tell our readers again why you're doing this, the seven summits?
So I'm doing the seven summits because they pose a unique challenge to mountain climbers. Basically, you know, it's the highest mountain on each continent, and if there's one big challenge in mountaineering, similar to the Grand Slam tournaments in tennis or the World Cup in soccer or the Super Bowl in football, it would be the seven summits. So that was kind of the natural option for me when I knew that I wanted to pursue mountain climbing as a way to support the Trevor Project. And of course, I'm supporting the Trevor Project because of their amazing suicide prevention and crisis intervention services for LGBTQ youth. And I was motivated to support the Trevor Project because of one of my friends who committed suicide and because of the suicide of Tyler Clementi.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'm being attacked by bees right now, so you're going to have to continue this by yourself. Keep going.
Yeah, Cason, what's happening? We'll cut this part out. Sid's at home, and there's a big bee invasion, so he's...
Oh, my gosh. I am terrified of bees. terrified.
Well, I don't think they come to altitude, fortunately.
No,
although I will say one funny anecdote is that on every single mountain of the seven summits that I've been able to summit so far, except Mount Vincent in Antarctica, I've seen a butterfly. How crazy is that?
Why is that so surprising? I mean,
yeah, because you don't have much life up, flora or fauna up high on the mountain, like on.
Oh, you mean way up high? You saw it.
Yeah, like on at high camp on Aconcagua, you're at like 19,000 feet. There are not usually butterflies up there.
Well, I wrote a story that's just up on Outsports now, and we talked a bit about sort of the idea that you're very openly gay. You don't hide it, but you told an anecdote I thought was kind of, endearing about your mom and your climb in Russia. Will you want to tell that story?
Sure, yeah. So I am almost aggressively openly gay, just because I've been really lucky to have a much easier experience growing up as a gay youth than most people in the U.S. or around the world. And so I try to kind of pay it forward by encouraging other people to be open and to be a role model for openly gay kids in athletics. And so in terms of my mountain climbing project, one way I express my gayness and share my project is by bringing a rainbow flag to the summit of each of these mountains. And, I'll fly the rainbow flag on my tent or put it on my pack, and then, of course, I bring it out and take pictures with it on the summit. And so when I was preparing to go to Russia to climb Mount Elbrus, the highest mountain in Europe, I was packing up my stuff, and my mother noticed that I had packed my rainbow flag, of course, and she said, Casey, no, that's not happening. And I was like, what do you mean that's not happening? Of course it's happening. Like, I mean, it's an integral part of my project. And she was basically really concerned about my safety being openly gay in Russia, a country that's very, very not accepting of LGBTQ people. And so I said, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. And she said, okay. And then later on that day, she went into my bag, took out my flag, and hid it somewhere. And so, I called her when I'm in Russia. I'm like, hey, Mom, have you seen my flag? I know I packed it. And that was when she, told me that she had hidden it. But luckily I did have a poster which had the Rainbow Summits logo. So I had something. But I did not have my rainbow flag. So I was a little bit bummed, but she was just trying to kind of be protective and be a good parent and make sure I was really safe.
So Mom saved you from being thrown over the edge of the mountain, is what you're telling us.
Yep, or being thrown into a Russian jail or something.
Yeah, that's Mount Elbrus is in Russia. Is it in the Caucasus, right?
Yes, it's just north of Georgia.
Which is a nasty part of the world anyway, I mean, just given all the conflict they have. So Mom did a good thing for you there, I would think.
Yep, she definitely did. I mean, nasty, I would be careful about using that because it really is a beautiful part of the world, and the people are actually really nice. Everyone that I talked to in Russia was quite supportive, although I didn't actually... There was a bit of a language barrier. Let's just keep it as that. But yeah, definitely politically it can be quite nasty. Especially, we're very close to the border of Russia. Elbrus, the border between Russia and Georgia, the mountain is. So we were lucky to have a stable political, it was stable politically at the time we were there, but it has not always been in the past.
Yes, I don't want the people in the caucus to get mad at me. I meant nasty politically, not for the people. What was sort of the most amazing thing you've seen on one of these mountains? Have you seen, fantastic rainbows? Or just something that's like just blew your mind that, you're by yourself or with a small team?
Oh, yes. Well, there were two quick stories that I'll share. One of them came on when I was climbing Karstens Pyramid, this crazy technical peak in Irian Jaya, which is an easternmost province of Indonesia. And so we're there, and it's very traditional and tribal in a way that I can't even describe. It's like a whole nother world. And the local people rely on climbers as a big source of their income because climbers hire them as porters to help portage all of the gear necessary to climb the mountain from the village to the base of the peak. So there was a big dispute about 2 days into our expedition because the last village before the jungle, said that they've been ripped off by another climbing company and they hadn't gotten paid. And so they said, well, we're not going to let you pass, unless you hire us. And so basically they had this big powwow with all 13 people in the village and then our porters and then our guides, and all of it was in their tribal language and in Indonesian. And so we, the climbers, were kind of like, oh geez, what's going on? And then all of a sudden this brilliant big rainbow comes out. And it was like a perfect rainbow. I'd never seen one like it before. You know, you could see both ends, full semicircle. And I was amazed by it. And clearly the locals were too, because our guides came up to us and said that rainbow was a sign to the local people. It was like an auspicious sign. And that was how we were allowed to pass through their village. I'm totally serious. So that was amazing to me, you know, because it was this kind of crazy combination of the physical world, this amazing rainbow, and then also, you know, culture and tradition. And on the other
and
story,
luck.
Mother, yeah, and luck, oh my
listen,
gosh.
Mother Nature's a lesbian, I guess.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. I haven't heard that one before. That's good. And the other story was on Denali, just 2 months prior. I was attempting Denali. I didn't summit, but I was on the ridge, the steep, Knife Edge Ridge, going up to the high camp, 17,000 feet. And I was with my team, and I heard this, like, buzzing noise in the background. And so we turned around, we stopped, we turned around, and we saw a trio of fighter jets kind of zipping by on some sort of, like, training mission or something. But they were flying by, and we're like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. Because they were, you know, pretty close. We could see them. And we were atop this ridge. And so we started, like, jumping up and down and waving. And, you know, after weeks on this mountain, you see something, you see a reminder of, like, modern technology in the outside world, and it's kind of, like, it invigorates you, you know, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. We have airplanes, so cool. So we see these planes fly by, and then one of them breaks off, circles around, and flew right above us, and it was so cool. We're just, like, atop this ridge, looking up at the underbelly of this fighter jet, as it zipped by, and I was just like, wow, that is so awesome.
Thank God nothing opened up underneath the aircraft.
These were friendly planes, friendly.
Well, so when is your next climb?
I leave to climb Mount Everest next week. Yeah, wow. Next week.
Have you been carbo loading?
You know, I've been putting in a concerted effort to gain weight for the past couple months with some success. I mean, I'm definitely not losing weight, but I'm not good at gaining weight, unfortunately. It's not, you know, I eat a lot.
Yeah, that's
always
horrible.
No, but really, I mean, you lose so much weight when you go on a mountain. You know, I lost 10 pounds on Denali last summer, and that's not good. If I lose 10 pounds on Everest, my ability to climb Denali right after is going to be a little bit compromised. So I really am trying hard to keep and put on more weight. But so yes, I've been carbo-loading.
So what kind of food do you eat on the when you're climbing?
It depends on the mountain. The mountains that have, well, Everest, for example, has a really solid kind of logistical base now. So it's easy to kind of, they have this like flow, they have a system down, they bring up fresh food to the mountain. And so on Everest, I will get, you know, kind of good normal food. Like, you're off in a third world country, of course, but it'll be fresh vegetables, you know, for the first couple weeks at least. And, you know, meat, just pasta, rice, kind of what we think of as normal food. And then as you go higher up on every mountain, including Everest, you're going to start eating more freeze-dried food, of course, as it gets harder to make water because of the altitude and the conditions. And on other mountains, you don't have as many options for food. On Aconcagua, for example, they have glaciers on Aconcagua, but a lot of it is rocky, very rocky. And so you can't keep meat. But yeah, soups, you know, quesadillas, you're really trying to eat a lot because, again, you're losing weight up on the mountain. Your appetite is suppressed, and your metabolism is getting faster.
Well, before we end this podcast, we want to make sure that people go to outsports.com, check out the story, because there are links to the Rainbow Summits project, and there's also a donation button for the Trevor Project. And one thing, Kaysen, you told me is that your parents finance your expedition, so every penny people send in goes right to the Trevor Project. Is that correct?
Every cent goes directly to the Trevor Project. None of it goes to the climbing, but it really is a great way to honor my climbing, honor this quest, by supporting an organization that is doing amazing work to help save young lives in the United States and around the world.
And there'll be a Twitter feed that people can go to the Rainbow Summits things and check out your progress as you're doing these climbs. Is that true?
That is very true. If you go to rainbowsummits.org, you can read my blogs. I'll be trying to update my blogs. I'll definitely be tweeting from Everest, and I'll also have a GPS location linked to my spot GPS, which will upload my location to a link on my website, so you can literally see where I am every second of every day. That, you know, my parents will be very pleased to be following that. I can tell you, I can tell you that. And you know, follow me on Twitter again at Kaysen Crane. That's the best way to kind of get up to date notifications of my progress. And go to the website rainbowsummits.org.
Well, I don't think Sir Edmund Hillary was tweeting back in the 50s when he climbed Everest, so we've come a long way. But, Kaysen, thank you so much for being our guest. Good luck, and we will have you back on after you've completed Denali, and we can get all the lowdown on how the last two climbs went.
Great. Thank you for having me. It was a great time, great chatting with you, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
And this is Jim with Sid. We'll talk to you next week.